Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, reporter at WNYC, filling in for Brian Lehrer. So the other day, one of my colleagues here at WNYC, Arun Venugopal, a reporter and the host of Micropolis, had an experience with a cab driver. It was a green cab, a van. He posted his experience on Facebook and asked for some advice. Should he report his cab driver to the Taxi and Limousine Commission or be sympathetic to this cab driver and let the whole situation go? And Arun got a whole lot of reaction. So here to tell us his story is Arun Venugopal. Hey, Arun.
Hey, Sarah.
So your story starts with a purchase. You finally bought a TV.
That's right.
You walk out of the store. You have your TV box.
That's right. I'm leaving Best Buy. I'm walking downstairs. This is the Queen Center Mall. And as I get to the exit of the mall, the glass doors just magically open. I'm like, wow, some nice man is opening the door for me. As soon as I actually exit, he's like, oh, no problem. You know, I'm like, thank you. He's like, no problem. Oh, by the way, do you need a ride? I'm like, oh, that's why. Okay. And I'm like, no, I don't need a ride. I don't like people. I don't like drivers who kind of like court me. And just as I'm saying that to him and walking away, another driver who's in the taxi line, the queue, he sees this guy doing this and he starts screaming at him or whatever, kind of shouting at him. He's like, you know, don't take my ride. That's mine, all that stuff. Anyways, I go to the front of the line and it's the same guy, the guy who's shouting. And I get into his car. I put my box in the back of the car, the van, and we start driving away. He's still kind of shouting at this guy. And I'm like, just let it go. Can we just please go home? I need to get home with my TV. And then he's like, oh, you're Indian? I'm like, yeah, I'm Indian. He goes, oh, okay. Then he starts calling this guy like profanities in Hindi, sort of for my sake, you know, like, hey.
He's
that's
Indian
right.
too.
This guy's like, oh, you can relate. So I'm like, you know, I don't need to, you know, this is more than I need, really. Just can you start driving, let it go, whatever. We start driving and he's like, oh, okay, it's flat fare, $20. I'm like, no, it's not a flat fare. This is a green cab. I did not agree to this. I got into your car. Let's use the meter. He's like, no meter. And this argument just keeps on going on. It never ends. We just constantly arguing the whole ride. It's not a super long ride, but this argument never ends. And he's saying, no, you've got stuff in the back, so you got to pay extra for that. I'm like, no, that I'm like, I'm not an idiot. I've lived here long enough. I know. I start pulling up on my phone. I'm like, let me look at the TLC website. Let the TLC settle this. And I look and I find they've got the language for this. You know, this is a common enough question. And I'm like, I start reading out the rule. There shall be no charge for luggage or belongings transported in the interior of the taxi cab or for use of the taxi cab's trunk. And I'm like telling this. He's like,
so you're telling the cab driver, you're reading the TLC's standards to the cab driver trying to charge you for your box.
That's right. He's like, yeah, well, this isn't luggage. This is a box. I'm like, no, luggage or belongings. He goes, and then he starts like going off in Hindi and he's like, you know what? These rules they've got, this is, and he starts pointing at the side of the street. If I parked there for 20 seconds, they would give me a $150 fine. This is what I have to deal with. I'm like, I'm sorry. I feel that is sad, but that's not my problem. You know, he goes, you're Indian. You should be able to relate to this and understand. I'm like, listen, I'm Indian. So why are you trying to cheat me? You know, I'm an Indian here, so have a little, you know. And this is going on and on. Finally, he's like, well, how much do you want to pay? I'm like, I want to pay what the meter asks of me or whatever, you know. At this point, we get home, and we're still doing this. And then he's like, all right, pay me. I'm like, no, let me get my stuff, and then I'll pay as I often do. You know, you go to the airport. Sometimes they help you out with your luggage, and then you tip them accordingly, all that kind of stuff. He's like, no, you're not getting out until you pay. I'm like, no, I'm getting out. And
you wanted to get your TV that's in the trunk, yeah. And he says you can't get out.
Yeah, it's getting also kind of creepy. So I'm kind of like, I don't really know where he's coming from here. If he's going to try to like drive off, if I don't pay him what he wants and all that kind of stuff, he's kind of. And then suddenly he locks the doors. So now
he locks the doors.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the sound of the locks. I'm like, wow. And I start like trying to open the door. I'm like, let me out of here. It goes.
Like child lock, like you can't
open
it?
Okay. It's totally like a movie. I'm like, you know, one of those movies I used to watch as a kid. I'm like, wow, like that's New York. That's like seedy New York. This is what happens. And here I am. I'm locked in this car. I'm like, let me out. I'm not going to pay you. He goes, no, you're not getting out until you pay me. And so we've got this little standoff. So I'm like, okay, let me call. And I could have called 911. I called 311 thinking like, okay, this is sort of like, let me just scare him.
You felt like so unnerved by the situation that you would have maybe called 911?
Yeah, I mean, the locking, like, I wouldn't say I felt, like, physically threatened. But at that moment, I was kind of like, okay, a guy who's willing to lock somebody, like, this one time, he probably is willing to do that on other occasions if he hasn't already done that. I'm like, how many people is he willing to, like, lock in his cab, you know? It's a pretty creepy step to take, right? Because I have a box. I'm not going to run away, sprint away with this big screen TV or whatever. And so I figure he's got enough leverage in this moment that he doesn't need to lock me in. Anyways, he locks me in. I call. I start talking to the 311 operator. Right then, it disconnects. And I'm like, okay, crap. Now I've got to, like, you know, deal with this guy. But he's scared enough. He's like, okay. Because he figures I'm, like, you know, calling his bluff. He lets me out, but he won't let out my TV. He won't open the trunk until I pay him first. I'm like, okay, I'll pay him what I want. But I don't know how much I want to pay. I mean, I don't want to just pay him some random amount. At the same time, what he was asking for, $20, it felt like extortion at this point. Anyways, I'm like, crap, all I have is a $20 bill. I give him the $20. He opens the thing. I take my box. He's like, thank you. And then I walk away. And I immediately called 311 to report this again. And they're like, okay, so you can make the complaint. But here's the thing. And they've told me this in the past before. If you are willing to come in to the court and file the complaint in person or whatever, follow up on this, then they may take action. Otherwise, if you're just willing to call in, we'll take the complaint, but TLC will not take any action on it. That's what they told me over the phone.
And so here's where the big question comes in.
And this is why I come to you in New York City and why I turned to my Facebook community as well. Yesterday, I'm like, what do you guys think? Should I let it slide? I didn't realize how creeped out and terrified people were, especially, I must say, women who can relate to this in some manner felt like this is, like, way, like, a step too far what he took. So
listeners, does Arun file a formal complaint against this driver, maybe go to court over it, or do you let it go? Maybe the driver was having a bad day. Who knows what's going on in his life? What do you think? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or maybe you have a similar scary weird experience with the cab driver in New York City, 212-433-9692. So, Rune, first I have to ask, when you found out that you would have to, like, maybe appear in court, did that deter you from filing a formal complaint? Were you like, wow, this is really serious? Do I really want to go down there?
Yeah. I mean, this is what happened to me a couple years ago. I can't remember what the incident was. But, you know, this kind of thing happens once in a while. You either have somebody you're just disagreeing with in some serious way, or they're just a jerk, right? And then you're like, am I willing to take a day off or whatever? Does it have to go that serious or that far? And the last time, it discouraged me. This time, I was like, this guy feels like a serial abuser of some sort. Like, I don't care if you're having a bad day. There's no excuse for locking people in the car.
And I think, actually, we have a caller. Acacia in Greenpoint had the exact same experience. She's 22 years old. Hey, Acacia.
Hi. Yeah. When you were telling the story, it sounds exactly the same. It was probably about 2009, 2010. I was in a cab coming home from the East Village bar. I was about 22 years old. I took a cab home by myself, a little tipsy, and I got to my house, and the guy demanded me give him $40. I was,
you,
like,
can't
really
say
nervous.
That on the radio. This is the Ryan Lair Show on WNYC. Keisha, go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. I was like, shoot, I'm so scared. Fine, just take my $40. Because he had already locked the door. I heard that click. I felt that feeling. And I gave him the money, and then he looked back, and he said, what else can I get from you? At that point, I got so nervous. I always wear my Doc Martin boots, and I pushed my body against the seat, and I started hitting the window as hard as I could. So finally, the guy unlocked the door and said, just get out of my cab, and he drove away. I called the NYPD. They were like, well, you didn't pay with the card. We don't have anything to do. They pushed me off like nothing. I called the Taxi and Limousine Commission, and they told me the same thing. You can come in, and you can go to court about it, but we don't have any information. You didn't pay with a card. There's no record. And you can hear in my voice, it still freaks me out to tell the story.
Yeah.
And I felt completely helpless, and that guy probably went and did the same thing over and over again. It was really, really scary. I'll take comments off the air. Sorry. Thank you. Sorry about the words. Bye.
Oh, okay. Wait, actually, Keisha, she's gone. Arun, I mean, I we could hear it in her voice.
Definitely. I mean, I heard that in a lot of other people who responded to this initial, you know, when I described this on Facebook yesterday. This strikes, you know, certain people in a very deep and emotional way, that power that a person has. And, like, one of my friends says, I think you should report it to TLC. As a woman, the thought of a cabbie thinking it is okay to lock a passenger inside is terrifying. He needs to be reprimanded because that kind of behavior is not okay. I also have other friends who are sympathetic and say, let it slide. You know, he was having a hard day. You know how hard it is to be a cabbie. I was a cabbie. My dad was a cabbie. It's a very hard job. There's a lot on his shoulders. You have no idea. And they just think, like, lost wages. What are you going to deprive him of if you take him to court? That kind of a thing.
Right. Okay, so let's hear from some of the listeners. Ruth in Queens, what do you think?
I think he absolutely should take him to court. It's not even a question. I'm stunned that it's even a question. And I wonder if my response has something to do with being a woman. It may have something to do with being a woman who's a senior. It also may have been that I've been living in the city most all of my life, and I've never even heard of anything like this. So it's unacceptable behavior. And if he's done it once, he's done it before, he'll do it again. I would have dialed 911. I think the best advice was, if you can, to pay with a card. And I think the other advice I'd like to just give listeners is something that a friend of mine did for me some many years ago when she felt a little dicey about leaving me off in a cab, was to very consciously and loudly say, I'm taking the cab's number and call me as soon as you get in. So if you're with anybody when you get in the cab, that's an added layer of protection.
Okay, but, thank you, Ruth.
Like I said, stunned that it's even a question. Absolutely go to court.
All right, William in Bridgeport, Connecticut, what do you think?
Yes, you definitely should call you should go to court about it. Should call the police about it also, because that's an illegal act. It's entrapment. It's false imprisonment to keep someone inside of a cab and locked in and not to let them out.
All right.
So he should definitely bring them to court and go through the fullest extent of the law.
And actually, Arun, I wanted to ask you, well, one, why do cabs even have the capability to lock you, like to child lock you in? Should that even be allowed in a cab?
Well, this is the funny thing. Like, it's not exactly to your point, but it does have to do with a friend of mine posted this. According to this website, in New York City, it is legal for a taxi cab driver to child lock a passenger in his or her car and drive the passenger to the nearest police station if the driver believes the passenger will not pay their fare. This is something.
Wait, cab drivers can lock you in?
I think this is something that varies according to state. According to another person, a lawyer who posted on this, there are certain questions I still have not answered. Mm-hmm. You know, on this, and I certainly don't want to spread misinformation on this. I think that this is something that was not really. He wasn't communicating this. He knew all kinds of stuff about me. Like, he was like, how do I know you have the money you're going to pay? I'm like, first of all, I have a box in the back of your car. And I open my wallet. I'm like, look, I've got the cash. I have no problem. I've never indicated I'm not willing to pay you. It's a very strange thing, you know, to have happen where you are like, it is, I guess, what he said, was it called entrapment? Is that what William called it? Yes. I think that if people are like kind of stunned, I was not immediately calling the cops or whatever. It's because there's a part of me which I did not feel physically threatened by this guy. Mm-hmm. I felt creeped out, but I was kind of like, I was sort of assessing. I was like, can I take this guy? Is he kind of like, there was nothing suggesting he was going to like pull a knife on me or do me harm. So I do completely appreciate, I'm sympathetic to people who feel physically terrified at hearing stuff like this and think it's crazy. I didn't. This is where I was coming from. And I suppose it has to do with the fact that I just did not feel that level of threat as much as I do feel like he needs to be held accountable in some manner.
All right. And we have a cab driver on the line, Asim in Manhattan. Hey, Asim, what do you think about Arun's story?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Hi.
Yes. I drive a New York City taxi, which is a yellow cab.
Okay.
Licensed and everything. So, it's my right to pick up airport or on the streets, and there's no a lot of business in these days on the streets. We've been paying, the driver's been paying lease and rents from the pocket, like $700 a week, including the taxes. So I went to pick up at W Hotel, which is on 49 and Lex. Like, I guess the address is 514 Lexington. So when I wasted like 2.5 hours there to get a good fare or whatever fare comes up. 2.5 hours there, and when I got to the doorman.
Can't hear you.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. So when I got the passenger was in my car and the luggage was in my car, and the old man came to me and he's like, $10. I said, $10 for what? He's like, for the for the fare. I said, listen, man, this is my right to pick up, and I'm not allowed to give you any money, and you're not allowed to ask me any money. He got the passenger out, took the luggage, and gave it to another taxi was behind me. And I had to waste all that time, and 3.5 hours, I didn't make enough money either, you know. And I just went home after that. I have a large family to feed.
So, Asim, let me ask you this, if I could. This is Arun. I described the incident that I had with this driver. Do you think that I should report him, no doubt, or do you have some sympathy for him, a fellow driver?
Well, the thing is, my advice to all the taxi drivers, please just do not try to get into trouble for just a couple of dollars. If somebody don't have it, just let them go. If they maybe hurt you or something. And, well, I never done this, you know. If somebody don't have money and I'm like, you know what, it's okay. God will give me. Don't worry.
So
you got to have a faith.
Do you think I should report him, or do you think it's a step too far that he might? I don't know what the cost is to him if I... what's the worst case scenario if I go to court and report him?
He will get fined probably around $300-$400, and he will learn his lesson. But I will. My suggestion is to give them a chance, give them a warning, so he never do that. These new drivers, they do that. I've been driving taxi 10 years. I'm 32 years old, and I had a lot of passengers in 10 years. They never want to pay me. They just want to leave. And, you know, I don't want to fight with them for, like, a couple of dollars, $10, $20, $50, whatever.
I'm curious, Arun, and maybe our listeners too, if this cab driver, if you decide to go to court and this cab driver does get fined $300 or maybe he loses his job, like, is there ever a sense, like, of, I mean, do you think about whether or not you would feel guilty? I mean,
bad
maybe that's an unfair question, but, like, if someone gets fired because of something that they did to you, I think maybe a part of me would be...
feel bad about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would feel bad if he lost his job. But I do think... I mean, I'm definitely leaning towards, very strongly leaning towards, you know, filing a complaint, you know, based in part on the kinds of things I'm hearing, but also just the fact that it's not like, you know, he had a chance to do the right thing, you know. And he didn't. It's like, even if we got down and he was like, listen, I'm sorry, that was crazy, I didn't mean to really scare you, kind of let me help you with this. I don't know, I have no idea how I could have resolved in a better way. But I constantly think about how he seems like a person to me who is willing to do this to other people as well, and that's a reason that has to be stopped. So I don't know. I mean, a former coworker posted the story on my Facebook feed saying that something like this happened to her in New York City. She called, I think, the cops, and because she was being locked in the car. They came and they totally started dressing him down. They started giving him citations. She said they would have arrested him if she had wanted that to happen. And she didn't want it to happen, but it freaked her out.
And one of the reasons we're talking about this is because this isn't like a common thing.
Yeah.
Most cab drivers in New York City are not going to lock you in. I think Ibrahim in Manhattan wants to make a similar point. Hey, Ibrahim.
Yeah, hi, good morning.
Morning.
Bring me back here.
What is your comment?
I'm a cab driver, okay? I've been driving over a dozen years. What this guy did was completely wrong. He wasn't supposed to do that. But I don't want people to paint a broad brush, you know, like all cab drivers are like that. Because I have been in a situation where I got assaulted, suffered a broken right radius for not picking up 6 people. The law says you can only pick up 4 people. You know, some people hadn't. This guy was arrested. He went to court. He got away scot-free.
All right.
Nothing happened to him. So And as much as what this guy did, how long have you been driving cab, Harun? Have you taken cabs? How long have you been taking cabs?
I think, okay, let me see. I remember him saying, I can't remember if he said this is how long he's been living.
No, not you.
How long have you been taking cabs?
Oh, taking cabs as long as I've lived in York was is like, what, 18 years?
Have you had this experience before? Is this a common experience you get?
Oh, I would say this is one of three or four experiences I've had which have been pretty negative. That's
it. Okay, but then you have to put that into perspective statistically. What would that be? Maybe like 0.001% out of your rides?
Well, it's not like I'm taking a drive. I'm not riding cabs that often. I'm a commoner.
I understand. But for the number of times you've ridden cabs, because what this guy did was wrong. It's your right to file a complaint against him. Because this is something you shouldn't be doing, because you have to know what goes around comes around. If you do something to people like that, it's going to come back and bite you in the butt, you know, without you even realizing it. But at the same time, because each time there's a complaint against one cab driver, all Jack and Jesus, all these fear beaters to Brooklyn and the Bronx, all of them call, oh, these cabbies are like that, these cabbies are like that. And the thing that they do to cab drivers, you know, we don't have a voice to voice it out. Because, like you said, you have to lose a day to go to file complaint.
Yeah.
And most times they won't even listen to your story, you know, because most of the cabbies are immigrants who don't even speak proper English.
Ibrahim, have you been to court?
Oh, yes, I have been for frivolous. But like I said, I have been assaulted. So far, the right radius. I have a titanium plate in my arm with 9 screws that I have to live with for the rest of my life. Oh. And what happened to that sucker who attacked me? Nothing. If I had done that to somebody, do you know what would have been the consequences?
Yeah.
Speaking to this note, thank you, Ibrahim, for your call. We're kind of short on time, so I'm going to move on. But to that point, do you have, Arun, a positive story about a really awesome cab driver?
I mean, I've had so many awesome cab drivers. I generally do not go around bad-mouthing cab drivers. I mean, you know how people are always saying, like, oh, you should never say where are you from? Every single time I get in a cab, they're always like, oh, where are you from, brother? India, Pakistan. And I'm like, India, you know, and they're like, oh, you know, and they start either talking Hindi
or get India, Pakistan, too, and I'm Mexican.
I can see that. Yeah. It's sort of a brown solidarity thing, I guess. I mean, but I think, and if it's Russians, they'll be like, oh, they'll start talking, like, they'll start singing a Bollywood song. That's always happens, you know. I've had people who have been like, I've been going home, I'm unwell, they stop, they buy me some, like, ginger ale because they think that my stomach's off, and so they'll give it for me. They're like, no money, don't worry about it. I've had lots of nice cab drivers, you know, and you just have all these, I mean, people have sung to me, all that kind of a thing. But I think this is a pretty serious situation. So for me, understanding like the process and the extent to which it encourages or maybe discourages people from filing complaints, I was told by some people, oh, you can just call it in. But the 311 operator said, you can call it in, your complaint, into the court if you live outside in New York City, which I found very odd. I mean, there are a lot of people who do not have the liberty. I understand it's hard on the driver to show up in court and lose wages. It's also discouraging if you're like, I don't know, you're housebound and you want to call in something severe that happened to you. So I feel like the system, if that's the way the system works, as the 3-1 operator described it, it's not really the best system.
And you mentioned brown solidarity. So before we wrap up, quickly, I just want to highlight one of the points that was made when you posted this story. One of the reactions that you've gotten was from people who say, you know, part of me thinks you should report him because it's bad behavior and you shouldn't reward bad behavior. But a part of me thinks you should give him a pass because he's Indian and you're Indian. That's sort of like a brown solidarity and like a way to, I think the comment was that this person knows it's totally wrong, but it seems fair in an unjust world where white people are rarely held accountable for behaving badly.
That's right. It's some kind of weird kind of compensation for that. Whereas other people are like, you know what? All too often I have people of my ethnicity, say they're African or Indian or whatever it is, saying like, you know, I have people who try to use that as like, hey, we're the same people, so let me exploit you here and just let it slide, or, you know. And so I think that also happens. So this whole brown solidarity thing is kind of, it's a two-way street, as somebody said. It needs to be a two-way street.
Right. All right. I think we're going to leave it there. Arun Venugopal is WNYC reporter and host of Micropolis. Arun, thanks for chatting with us. You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Sarah Gonzalez filling in for Brian. And next up, Trump's transition team has met with the Department of Homeland Security and asked them to assess all assets available for a border wall. Stay with us.